This is an ABC podcast.
Finch back on strike here, 1 for 16. Bolds! Finch coming forward to Southey, through the gate, decked back just enough, took middle and off, and Aaron Finch, for the final time in 50-over cricket, departs. There's the suitable ovation for Aaron Finch, out for five, he raises his bat.
That's the sound of opener Aaron Finch departing for the final time as Australia's one-day international skipper. While he's had a difficult end to his tenure with the bat, Finch's leadership has been excellent over the years. So who might replace the veteran leader a year out from a one-day World Cup in India? Challenges don't come too much tougher. There are sandpaper gate rehabilitation cases, a cricket golden boy, an emerging leader, and an outright wild card, all considered to be in the mix. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Jim Maxwell is ABC Grandstand's voice of summer. He's been celebrating the bunnies this week, but he's now gearing up for an enormous summer of cricket. Jim, Finch's one-day retirement leaves a big opportunity, and today I want you to help us pick over each prospect and help us understand the case for and against. We're going to start with Test captain Pat Cummins. He's told media he's worried about workload, but nothing's off the table, he says. Could you see Cummins leading in not one, but two formats?
I could. Yes, of course, to an extent, it's up to him with, as he said, the potential workload. But if he can manage it, he would be the first choice, given his exceptional record so far in getting the team together in Test cricket. And that kind of influence would be very important to the destiny of this side, looking ahead to something like the World Cup, which is the major event for one-day cricket. After the Ashes next year, I'd say he's the obvious first choice if he's available.
There's so much cricket coming up in the, you know, Test arena. Yeah, I think if the white ball captaincy came up and I was there around and we could make it work, then, you know, nothing's off the table.
Yeah, I think he's the outstanding candidate person to lead the side in view of his distinguished record so far as a Test captain.
David Warner's a player with a fine record, and he gained an endorsement from the outgoing Aaron Finch despite his ongoing leadership ban.
Would I like to see it overturned? Yeah, absolutely, because I think what he can offer, not just now as a player in that leadership space, but going forward.
Could you see Warner overcoming the shadows of Sandpaper Gate to lead Australia in one-day cricket?
Well, if they say clean slate and we move on, I suppose he would be, but he's, what, 36 now? I think you need to have someone who's a little bit younger. And although Warner's obviously got good leadership credentials, perhaps with the baggage that those in administration or other places see, perception, whatever, he's not, at this point of his career, an ideal candidate for the job. But he'd make a good fist of it if they threw the captaincy his way.
You know, any opportunity you get asked to captain or whatnot, it's a privilege. And yeah, for my circumstances, that's in Cricket Australia's hands, and I can only concentrate on what I have to do, and that's, you know, using the bat and trying to score as many runs as I can.
You touch on the idea of someone being a little bit younger. Steve Smith fits that category. He's captained his country before. He obviously has been someone impacted by what happened in South Africa. Would you imagine he would be in charge come October in India at a World Cup?
Well, coming out of that series against New Zealand that's just been finished, he sounds a bit reluctant.
Nah, I'll see what happens. If they ask me, I don't know. I honestly don't know what I'd do right now. I'm getting old myself, so I'm probably the next one to retire, so we'll see.
He's getting a little bit older, and perhaps he's best left to his own devices, as we've seen in the New Zealand series.
Tim Southey to bowl from the club end of the ground. In and bowling to Smith, who turns it through square leg. And with that brings up ODI century number 12.
Rather than being the captain, but clearly with his experience and the rest of it, he is a potential candidate to be there leading the side, but I'm not sure that he really wants it at this stage. So maybe it's time to look elsewhere.
You mentioned his ambivalence there, and it's quite curious, isn't it, when you consider in 2021, he sort of put himself forward as someone who could lead the country once more.
I think the Test captaincy was something he still cherished and wanted to be part of, and when that opportunity passed, he was number two, basically, to Pat Cummins, and he may still be Test captain again given that bowlers have more of a history than batsmen of being injured. But it seems as though he sort of set himself on finishing his career by doing what he can as a player without worrying too much about the burden of leadership.
West Australia's favourite son is Mitch Marsh, among our finest white ball cricketers, an excellent all-rounder. And he received a surprise endorsement from a Victorian cricket great of all people, Darren Berry. What are the chances that Mitch Marsh could lead the national side?
I think it's remote for a number of reasons. Nothing to do with his ability as a player, of course. He's an exceptional all-round talent, as we saw in the T20 last year.
But has he started well? He hasn't. It's gone for six. Mitch Marsh is seeing the ball very quickly and is bludgeoning it.
I just think given his patchy record with injury, that's a concern. And the fact that he may not always, depending on the dynamics of team selection and pitch conditions and the rest of it, be an automatic selection around the arrivals he's got in the team. That may be a bit harsh, but I just think there are a few ifs and buts around his position that would make him more of an outsider for the job at the moment.
Alex Carey is someone who is probably not as well credentialed from an on-field perspective as the four people we've already spoken about today, but someone who's highly rated as a leader. Why do you think the wicketkeeper would potentially be the right candidate?
Well, wicketkeepers have gone up in everyone's estimation as leaders after Tim Payne's successful time as the captain of the Test team, and Joss Butler in limited over cricket in England has moved into that role recently. I think Carey's got a reasonable record, as limited as it might be, when he captained the one-day side successfully, and he's pretty much a fixture in the current one-day side.
Carey's on the drive. He's on 46. That might be the half century. It will be. Through long off for a boundary. His seventh one-day international 50.
Even though he's not with the T20 side, but that may come after Matthew Wade's career finishes, probably after this, certainly after this World Cup coming up in October, November. So I think Carey's a very strong prospect if they're not looking at the sort of leading lights like a Smith or Warner and, as I said, Pat Cummins. So Carey's a definite chance.
If he were to nail down that one-day international captaincy position, do you think it could be the sort of start of even more leadership opportunities for someone like Carey, whether that's T20 or indeed Test cricket further down the line?
Yeah, I think there's every chance of that. A lot of people are talking about Travis Head taking over from Cummins eventually. I think it's all a bit early doors to be thinking of it because Cummins has probably got another 3 or 4 years if he sustains his fitness, form and desire for the red ball leadership.
I think the schedule is so busy that to play three formats every single game's unachievable. You know, we've been pretty open-minded about that here in Australia. Of course, Test cricket for me is absolute number one priority.
That's a bit out there at the moment. I think he's a candidate for sure, given that we've broken the mould in terms of the wicketkeeper being a person who could be selected to lead the team more often than before. So, yeah, Carey's certainly in the frame as the Test captain somewhere down the line.
Jim, it feels like every summer we have a leadership debate in Oz cricket. Thanks for taking us through this one. We also appreciate the special comments from your budgies.
Always available for selection, Patrick.
Time for headlines. We have our first big trade story for the AFL off-season. Melbourne ruck / forward Luke Jackson surprising no one by telling his club he wants a trade home to Perth. Dockers and Eagles reps will be preparing offers for both Jackson and the Demons as they try to lure the premiership player. Brace yourself for weeks of will they, won't they stories. The NRL version of that yarn is the race for Cam Munster, who remains undecided around whether he will stay with the Storm. He has a sweet mo, frosted tips, and is a ripping player.
Comes away from Coates, who was the game's first try scorer. Hughes, crossfield bomb, up they go. Munster through the air, hitting, spinning, going in to score. He is everywhere.
Wayne Bennett's Dolphins, the West's Tigers, and Canterbury are all chasing the star playmaker with huge cash on offer. And the Wallabies have made bulk changes to the side that was embarrassed by South Africa. 5'8" Bernard Foley is the headline inclusion. The 33-year-old is back in gold for the first time since 2019. Other notable inclusions are Jake Gordon at halfback, while Andrew Kellaway got the fullback jumper. The Australians take on New Zealand on Thursday in Melbourne. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. If you need more sport content, I don't blame you. Go to abc.net.au/sport and read stories on Cathy Freeman, Carlos Alcaraz, Ticketek's finals meltdown, PNG cricket. Good times. Recommend. Thanks to Fox Sports and Triple M for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.